This evening we begin the 3 days, the sacred 3 days, the Holy Triduum. Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and Holy Saturday together are meant to be taken as a whole. And so the end of our service does not end with a benediction, but it is intended for you to come back again tomorrow and continue the service. It doesn't quite end tonight. Tonight's service also is a bit schizophrenic, for we hear of our Lord's institution of the Passover, and then the Lord's Supper, the new covenant that replaces the Passover. But then we also hear in our gospel of our Lord's washing the disciples' feet. They aren't as disconnected as you might think. Our Lord washing his disciples' feet comes in the context of the Passover. He is in the upper room with those disciples. They are in the midst of celebrating the Passover. He's in the midst of giving to them the blessed sacrament of the Lord's body and blood. It is just the 13 of them, 12 disciples and Jesus, although not quite. For they have brought with them their cares and their concerns. Namely, they have been contending recently about who is the greatest. Who will sit at Christ's right and left hand when he is exalted in glory? Well, it is James and John who will sit at Christ's right hand, the sons of thunder. They are given that special privilege. And of course, this has caused resentment amongst the other disciples, the other 10, especially Judas. What is this but pettiness? They're arguing about who is going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus is there serving them as a humble God. Humble, serving, while they are trying to exalt themselves. But the truth that we learn from tonight's gospel is that greatness does not come through exaltation, but comes through serving. Indeed, the greatest among you is the one who sits in the lowest seat and is exalted by God, the one who comes to the feast humble, unworthy, and is made worthy, and is exalted by the owner of the banquet. That's what this foot washing is about. When they came into the room, they certainly saw that basin and towel sitting there. Part of the Passover preparation. And yet, none of them noticed the lack of a servant, someone to do the washing of the feet. And then they are all too busy arguing about who is the greatest than to just stop and serve, to take up the towel and the basin, and to serve each other. This has been going on for some time. They've already eaten the first course of the meal, and Jesus is still waiting. But Jesus knew his hour had come, he said. His hour to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, and loving them to the end. And so, knowing that all things were given into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, Jesus takes up the towel and the basin. Jesus does it. He becomes the servant. True Son of God, serving his creatures. Of course, this is not a new thing to have happened in the gospel. Just 2 chapters previously, Mary had washed Jesus' feet with her tears, drying them with her hair, anointing them with fragrant oil. Serving him. And now he serves his disciples. And he asks them this question after he washes their feet. He says, "Do you understand what I have done to you? Do you understand why I have done this?" It's one thing they don't seem to get even in this upper room, even in the shadow of the cross, that Christ came to serve. From the upper room to Golgotha, it's about serving those who need him. He was about to depart out of this world to the Father, but he served them with his death, served him with his body and blood, served them by washing their feet, served them because he loved those. He loved his own who were in the world, and he loved them until the end. This was his will, his desire for you, even. It was his Father's will. Indeed, it is a necessity, for there can be no salvation apart from Jesus. Indeed, his death, his obedient death, is exactly what's necessary to redeem us from death and from sin and from the devil. That is why he said that he loved his own unto the end. Not just the end of his life, that is, his death, but to his telos, to the completion of everything that he had been doing from his very incarnation. Just as we confessed in the Creed, begotten, born of Mary, led all the way to the cross, to his resurrection, to his ascension to the right hand of the Father, and his judgment, coming in judgment on the last day. That is the completion that he speaks of, the end that he speaks of. He loves you every step of the way, for you are his friends. He is serving you. That is how he loves. He kneels and gives you exactly what you need. Indeed, his passion, the passion of our Lord, is a passion of suffering. But not just suffering, but service. See, our Lord God rode in on the colt, the foal of the donkey, in lowly pomp, rode in to die for you, to serve you with his death. The Lord of angels, the one who can command them and does, now will go into the dust. Indeed, he will suffer blasphemy of the only true God, for the sake of the truth. Even the Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth, will hang powerless on the cross. What was impossible for us, redemption being far outside our ability, is done for you, is done in service, as a servant. Do you know what I have done for you? Our Lord asks. Do you know that when he gives you his body and blood, what that does for you, what he is doing for you, how he is serving you? He's giving you blood to cleanse every spot. He's washing you in the blood of the font for the forgiveness of every stain. He places his very body and blood in your mouth to sustain you for this wilderness journey. He even gave it to Judas, though Judas would deny it and betray him. He even gave it to Peter, the most proudful of the disciples, the one who had the highest self-esteem, even exalted. He gave it to Peter. You recall Peter said, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Kind of like he said that you would never die. Said that at the Mountain of Transfiguration. Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." You see, our Lord served even Peter, and he served him by bringing him low, helping him understand that apart from Christ, there is no salvation. Apart from Jesus, his rabbi, there could be no cleanliness, no justification before God, no ability to stand before the throne on the last day and be declared not guilty. So Peter rightly comes around and wants his whole body washed. But he is already washed clean in the font in baptism, likely from John the Baptist. Only his feet have gotten dirty and need to be washed now. Peter didn't understand. Judas didn't understand. The other apostles didn't understand. But Peter will understand when the rooster crows later that day. You might recall that Thursday evening is actually Friday on the Jewish calendar. So our Lord eats the Passover with his disciples on the very same day he is betrayed. On the very same day, he prays in the garden. The same day, he is taken before the Jewish courts, before Pilate, before Herod, finally delivered over to be crucified and dead. What begins with his supper ends with his death. And Peter will come to understand and to learn what he truly meant. What it means to serve, to love your friends until the end. He even gets a glimpse of this after he betrays the Lord, denies him three times, and Jesus turns and looks at him. And Peter weeps. The look on Christ's face was a look of forgiveness, a look of love, a look that said, Peter, I am doing this for you. So he asks, do you know what I have done for you? Do you know what he has done for you? Perhaps you are like Judas, cold, indifferent, receiving our Lord's divine service, and then turning around and stabbing him in the back. May it not be so. Instead, may you be like Peter. Peter, who may have came in the door today with exalted esteem, but who was brought low by God's word spoken in the confession, and only exalted in the forgiveness of sins declared in absolution. Be like Peter when you come up to the altar and say, Lord, I'm not worthy of what I'm about to receive, but I need it. I am hungry for it. I'm certainly unworthy of it, and yet you have promised it to me. You desire to serve me, and I wish to receive it. There is much to be forgiven for. We have confessed these things. And Peter, despite seeing Christ's face of disappointment, to be sure, but even forgiveness there in the court of the chief priest, Peter will need to hear the Easter message too. He will need to see our Lord's hands and side, to hear him speak, peace be with you. Peter will have great guilt, and guilt will be his final trouble. Guilt from his failure. And perhaps you have guilt too. Guilt about what you have left undone, where you have been lazy, perhaps a weakness or a plaguing sin that you just can't shake off. And guilt clouds the conscience, makes everything dark, makes everything dirty. There's only one washing that can truly cleanse that stain, which is Christ's blood, his service for you. There's only one light that can pierce that kind of darkness, Christ, the light of the world. And there is only one love that can truly overcome that sort of animosity towards God, and that is Christ's love of you. What is his love? But the answer to the question, do you know what I have done for you? I have loved you to the end. I have loved you as a friend. Indeed, I have done everything for you, suffered for you, died for you, rose for you, And I am still giving to you, serving you, divinely serving you. That is what forgiveness is. That is what love is. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.